You're joking, right?
Well, I'm trying to be hopeful. I'm trying to be optimistic about that.
Well, I guess you're too young to be a little pessimistic like me.
The fucking things I see out there, people are stupid.
They still are stupid.
The last three meals I've eaten, I've ruined my shirts. I've gotten a stain on my shirt.
Why?
I don't know. I'm a messy eater.
I'm not messy as I'm eating.
I always end up like...
Because you fidget.
Spilling something on my shirt.
Because you fidget.
And then it's like, fuck, I have a stain. Like, I have to throw out shirts on a monthly basis because I'm like, I can't get the stain out.
Well, that makes no sense because all stains come out.
That's not true at all.
Well, you got Santuja gets everything out.
No.
She gets out. Stop picking your fingers.
Not everything.
Stop picking those fingers.
She did a good job on the shirt that I wore up here Wednesday because I got a stain on that one.
Be a little more conscientious.
I got Chipotle.
Okay.
Yeah, speaking of words... Everyone, on the last Patreon episode,
fill me in
when we were arguing about the word ubiquitous because I was using that word and then you made fun of me for using it.
I was making fun of you in a teasing way, not a bad way.
And then
way.
I was like, people comment below, like comment on the Patreon.
Explain what happened.
No, I just did. I said,
I don't think people got it.
I was using the word ubiquitous. We were talking about
three times.
Well, we were talking about the Apple lawsuit and how I was like, iPhones are so ubiquitous that it almost everyone has one, that there almost should be some sort of regulation. Because like everyone has insurance, so we're all okay with them regulating it. Everyone has healthcare, so we're all okay with them regulating it. So I use the word ubiquitous to,
okay,
which is by the way the perfect word for
it
that.
It was a good word. That was not. I know you're a smart guy, and I said it's a little pretentious of you using big words,
right? And then I said I feel like people know that what that word is,
and I said probably 90% do not.
So we said why don't you guys comment below on the Patreon episode if you. Don't know what this was.
And everyone said they knew, right?
No. Everyone said they didn't know.
All right, there you go. Here's what I want to say.
Only three people commented. Okay. All of them were like, I don't know what that word means.
All right, so here's what I want to say. So one thing I love about our listeners, that's very funny, Bronny.
Yeah.
One thing I want to say about our listeners is that they're honest. I love our listeners. They're just straight up OG. When Bryce made that comment with the science guy, it was like, of course we know how many trees there are, stars are. Yeah. They're all full of shit. That's my point.
Especially because they're commenting on TikTok.
Correct. But they're all full of shit. So, shout out to my listeners or our listeners.
To our Patreon.
And how funny that they didn't know.
They were like, yeah, we don't know what that word is.
Because you're very well read, so you're going to know a lot more words because you read so much. I'm a pretty smart guy, but I'm more of a simple. I don't know those words.
But sometimes the word ubiquitous fit perfectly.
It did, but wait, so why am I going to use
a worse word?
No, okay, listen, we're not going there, but my point is this.
What were we talking about before we got onto this ubiquitous thing? Because there was another thing we were just talking about.
But I want to say, I completely forgot what you thought, but here's what I want to say.
ADD podcast, Jesus.
So, years and years ago, I had this case, years and years ago, and this lawyer used a word in this paper that he filed. So I didn't know what it was. I looked it up. I didn't know what it was. But I want to be a dick to call him out. So I go, Judge, Mr. So-and-so, I forget his name, used with this word. I don't know what this word means. And I go, does he know? And the oral argument, he didn't know what it was.
That's good.
Because just to be a dick.
If he did, though, you would have.
I would have said, thank you for educating because I don't know what that word means. Yeah, I would have been fine. But my point is, I don't know.
I only use words when I know them.
Well, you are smart when it comes to something. I am not. And therefore,
I'm smarter than you.
On those words, you're not smarter than me.
You are smarter than me.
It's different.
You're more experienced than I am.
Of course, because of age.
Yes.
Right.
That's the only reason.
All right. Whatever makes you feel good.
I'm just joking. Before we got on ubiquitous, we were talking about something.
So you see, I'm 57. I don't have a good memory.
We started the episode, and I said, I get stains on my shirts, and then you said every stain comes out, and then how did we get on ubiquitous?
Oh, my God. God!
What did he just do? Did he throw up?
Throw up?
Banks?
Holy fucking shit!
Oh! That's Santa. Diarrhea!
No.
Ew!
Santa!
The dog just puked, and not like liquid puke.
Like
real chunk.
All his food.
Ew, I'm so nauseous.
Santa, I need your help. Open the door slowly. God. I need your help.
Look at what he did.
Santa, I love you, but this is when your job really comes in handy.
Oh. Got it. My bag was right there. He would have thrown up on my bag.
Oh, my God.
He did that so silently.
Santa, I love you, but if it's you or me, you're going in the fire.
He did that so quiet.
What happened? So his foodie threw up. Put him outside. Let him throw up on Todd.
Put him out of his misery.
Isn't he? I love the dog, but he's gross.
Yeah, he is.
I love him. And he loves me. But
he's a sweet boy.
We have ADD today. By the way, that is the nastiest.
Yeah, that's a bad throw. And that's a lot. Like that.
It could have been worse.
That needs a full roll of paper towels to clean
up. Oh, no, full roll, but it's a little bit on the rug. But if anyone get it out, Santa, like the stain.
That's how we started, but not all stains can come out. But what were we talking? We were on a good conversation.
No, it was not a good conversation, but it was just interesting.
I hate that because people listening will be like, oh, they're like in their car. You were talking about this.
I know.
But it's like, you can't help us. Yeah.
Ronnie, that throw up's atrocious.
Yeah.
I knew when he's walking around, you see me look.
I'm a little bit nauseous from that, to be honest.
All right, man up. All right. So that's
it. I guess you got to address what's on your face.
Do we? What's on my face? What are you saying? Teasing you. Yesterday.
There's a joke to be made somewhere in there, but.
I was working out in my gym.
Santa's here cleaning it up.
I wish we could videotape this and show all our listeners. She put gloves on. Disgusting. Wow. Okay. So yesterday I was working out in my gym, and the last thing the trainer goes, just do a quick set. I go, I'm done. He goes, no, do a quick set of skull crushers. But it wasn't skull crushers lying down a bench with free weights. I have the universal as well. And I have a flat bar that I bought. And it's just a metal bar, but there's no like rubber handles. So my back against.
A bench bar.
No, it was like a 20 inch bar. And you hold your elbows in and whatever. And you do the skull crushers. So I had my back against the pole. So I'm leaning. So I'm pulling forward and the resistance, right, is what we feel in your triceps. And the bar slipped on my right hand.
Oh, so it went boom. It flew towards your face?
And it came right back.
Oh, my God.
And the edge of the bar, it's a steel bar, metal bar, hit me in my forehead, like right
that
above my hairline.
You can't see.
And then it secondly hit me on top of my bridge of my nose. So the forehead, now it wasn't painful. I felt it. It happened so quick. I'm not in pain. I didn't complain.
Because
I'm tough. But I put my hand and gushing blood.
I'm sure.
So I showed you the photo, right?
Well, there's like a chunk out of your nose. Right.
So
in your head.
So I put ice in it, went to the hospital. They said, it's healing, whatever. And now I have a big scab on my top of my nose, which is fine. I don't see it. It'll go away.
Well, yeah, you don't see it.
And my forehead's healing. The head part's healing nice.
Yeah.
So it could have been worse. I mean, it could have
been way worse. The end of the pole could have poked you right in the eye.
If that hit me in the eye,
would have lost your eye.
I would have lost my eye. So I ordered a new bar that has rubber on it.
So it'll bruise you, but it won't cut you, maybe.
No, so I won't slip.
Yeah, that too.
I've never had that happen. But that was fucked up.
Yeah, you are lucky.
Yeah.
You want to see something gross on me?
Santa, I mean, you're so good, since we're going Santa. Gross. What is that you're using, Santa?
It smells good.
But it's not bleach, right? Wow, you would never know, other than having that stupid dog. You would never know.
Yes.
Other than Santa on her knees and the dog being gross, you would never know.
She's a wizard at stains.
Yes, Santa's the best. All right.
Do you want to see something gross? And I'm going to show you and you're going to be like,
no.
You're going to be like, oh, it's not that gross.
On the internet?
No, it's on my arm.
What's wrong with you?
Look at that. And you're going to be like, you got to go see someone for that. I don't know what it is.
Okay, let me see. Yeah.
It's gotten worse every day, by the way. It's going to explode.
Okay.
It's like brown and purple.
Okay.
Yesterday was just purple.
Okay. It's not that gross. I want to explain what that is.
It hurts.
Ronnie has a nipple on his elbow.
Yeah, fully. But an infected nipple.
It's either that or a clit. Which one is it? But here's what I want to say you need to do. It's very easy.
It's not a wart. I think it's a pimple.
Does it got infected. It's definitely got infected.
Oh, it hurts. It hurts very much.
It's very simple.
Pop it?
No. Hot compress.
I think I just let it run its course.
But it's infected.
Yeah, but
it's infected.
I think I just let it run its course. Right. My body will be on that
angle where you hit it.
I can't when I'm typing.
That's why it's infected.
I have to type like an idiot instead of putting my full arms on the
Santa.
The desk.
You're the best, Santa. Look at that. You would never know. All right, so that is infected. It's not as gross. It's not that gross. But I would do hot compresses, Bronnie.
I'm just gonna let it run.
Okay, when it does open up, you got to put a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah,
Neosporin.
Yeah.
All right, that's not terrible.
No, it's just. It's like I can't put my arms as I normally want to because it touches it.
Yeah.
That is why it's infected, right? Because it's in the worst spot.
Correct. But that's not so bad. Good luck with that one.
Thank you. Good luck with your nose.
Yeah, I'm fine. It is what it is.
As I was driving up here, I was listening to this podcast. It's like a true crime podcast. And it's the first time in my entire life. I don't fully really want to talk about it like in depth because I didn't like it that much. Like, so I didn't, I really, really didn't like it. No, no, no. The podcast itself is good. I'm talking about the story. It's like a true crime story.
Is it a real story?
Yeah. That's what I mean by true crime. It's like a story that actually happened in the 70s.
Was it a crime?
Yes, a true crime. Okay. And I needed to bring it up because it honestly, like, I was listening to it. It's the only time, really, in my entire life that I can remember where I was like, this is too disturbing for me. I have to turn this off.
Really?
And I was like 45 minutes into my hour drive. And you watched
that movie with the tongue being cut out and that, wow.
I was literally 45 minutes into an hour drive.
And it was a true crime.
And I was like, I have to turn this off and put music on because it's like ruining my day.
It disturbed you.
And I still, I love
you. Thank you, Santa.
I haven't stopped thinking about it. It's a true story. I'll just tell you briefly.
Is it a true story?
In the 70s, there was this girl, Colleen.
Am I going to be disturbed by it?
Yeah.
So then why are you telling me?
Because it's crazy. You didn't have to listen to it. The story, I'll just tell you briefly. Colleen Smart, Colleen Suss, something like that. I have it on my phone. She was like 18, 19 years old in Oregon. And her friend, one of her best friends lived in Northern California, like a 6-hour drive south of where she was in Oregon. And she was like, I'm going to go surprise her on her birthday. Her car broke down.
People are evil, are they not?
Oh my.
Did they catch the guy?
Yes.
Good.
That's how we know of the story. She was like, I'm going to go down to surprise my friend, but it's my car isn't working. And she was young. She didn't have enough money for a flight. And it was like the 70s. And you wouldn't be able to fly that route anyways, like, you know, rural Oregon to rural California. So she was like, I'll just hitchhike. I've hitchhiked plenty of times before.
Oh my God.
She was like, I've hitchhiked all around my area.
Hitchhiked.
Yeah. So she hitchhikes. She gets like, and this is the craziest part about it to me is like, and it made me think, how many times have you just skirted danger in your life? Because there were so many times on the hitchhike that she decided, yeah, I'll get in this person's car. I won't get in this person's car. And like, if she decided to, so.
Like life changes on a dime.
Right. But because of choices that you make.
Mm-hmm.
Like she denied this one person because it was one guy alone in a car. She was like, I'm not going to go with that person. And the next person that picked her up kidnapped her, right? So it's like, if she got in the first person's car, she wouldn't have been kidnapped. She would have already been gone. You know, it's like there's so many little things that you make choices for. And then it made me think, wow, I wonder how many times in my life I've made a choice where I was this close to danger.
100% low to them.
This close to death, even. I'm sure there have been a handful of times.
We'll never
where
know.
I was this close to death, and I was just lucky enough.
We will never know, Bronson, but that's true. That's completely true.
Which is terrifying. So anyways, scary. Long story short. Life. Yeah, but that's terrifying. And if I had like a kid, oh my God, I'd be terrified. When
you
have a kid,
you worry about things like, I know this sounds sick, we're doing our ADD diverting, but I'm wondering like, when you kids were little and I used to like hold you walking up and down the stairs or like that hallway catwalk, whatever, I used to be like, what if you fell over
there? Yeah, that's like intrusive thoughts. Like the worst idea is coming into your head.
You do. And I'm like, you feel like a bad parent to think that.
No, that's a survival mechanism. It's your brain. Like, you know how humans are forward thinkers. We're planning always. That's like what makes us surviving. That's your brain saying, this is the worst that can happen. So now you're going to hold me tighter.
Right. Or I go closer to the wall. Even when I walk down the stairs now, because I am a little older, obviously.
Yeah.
And we have these slippery,
very slippery
glass flooring.
Remember, I slipped and broke my computer on the stairs.
Right. So every time I walk down those stairs, I hold the rail single. Mom looks at her phone. I say, stop looking at your phone.
They're very slippery.
I purposely hold the railing. So the next floors, we're redoing, you know, the whole house flooring.
Oh, I don't know the flooring.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. That's going to be such.
We have to move out. It's going to be a nightmare.
That's going to be such a hassle.
I hate this fucking floor. I hate the white floor.
It's like white glass, our floor.
And what is it, like
glass?
Yeah, and I hate it. It shows every little piece of dirt.
Yeah.
So we're going to be ripping out the whole flooring.
Well, you don't see it. Santa cleans it every day. She hates it more than you, probably.
I hate this floor.
What are you going to put in? Okay, let's go back. Yeah, let's stick. We're mad ADD.
This girl, go ahead.
So she gets in this, a car pulls up. She's an hour and a half away from her destination. She's made it this far.
Mm-hmm.
She's 4.5 hours in. She's hitchhiked with 3 or 4 other people now. a car pulls up and there's a husband, like a man and a woman. They're young. They're like early 20s and a baby on the woman's lap.
Right, you think you're totally safe as can be.
There's a baby on the woman's lap. So she's like, okay, yeah, I'll get in the car. Long story short, they kidnap her. Oh, that it was so disturbing.
I don't want to hear she, it. They, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it then.
So
all right, I guess we're going to hear it.
They kept her in a wooden box, naked, in a wooden box for 23 out of the hours of the day. And then the 1 hour of the day, they would take her out. He would whip her, torture her, whatever. Like every different day, torture or different torture every day for the hour. Feed her, let her go to the bathroom, put her right back in the box, and then him and his wife would have sex on top of the box. Okay, they did that every day, 23 hours in the box, 1 hour out.
Wait, I'm amazed Dad, they had sex every day?
Well, I don't, Dad, 7.5 years, every day, 23 hours in the box. And it wasn't a box, it was completely pitch black, completely soundproof. Right up to her face, she could not move. She was laid down in it was a coffin. 23 hours a day, one, and then 1 hour a day of torture.
How do you
survive? For 7.5 How do you survive? Years.
She did survive.
She's like 65 now. And okay. She's telling the story.
Okay.
That she, and I could.
How
I
did mean, she escape?
I haven't gotten to that part. I turned it off.
Wait, and wait, they found the guy?
Well, so I haven't got to that part. We know she's.
I want to kill that. It's like Dad. Skin him alive.
And the wife would come down every once in a while and like talk to her and like, give her a blanket, give her a little extra food. And she said to her within like the second week, she said, you're here. So he like, don't worry. There will be nothing sexual with you. Like you're here so that he doesn't do the, like he can take the physical out. So he doesn't do it on me, but then they would have sex. So I guess like before they kidnapped this girl, he was doing this to the wife. And then she was able to be like, let's get someone else. But then this guy, he needed to do it every single day. He needed to torture this girl. And he didn't even want to have, and then he would have to have sex with his wife. Like it was a sexual thing for him. But he had the
That's evil beyond evil.
But he had the self-control to be like, I don't need to have sex with this girl. I just need to get my violence out. But then I need to have sex, but with someone else. It was like
something that's evil on top of evil. That's worse than the devil.
Evil. And
Brian, there was this thing that just happened where, remember that girl was kept for like 20 years and the guy or something, she survived and she got escaped and a black guy, she was a white girl and it's joked that they like black guy going, I knew something was wrong when that white girl's running to a black guy, you know, like
I don't know that story.
There was it's true. It just, and she was like for years and they got her pregnant, had kids, they like abused her and had sex with her and like fucking evil.
It's just crazy how that people can really be evil. He would every day take her out of the box, string her up so she was like hanging from the ceiling, and then just completely torture her and then put her right back in the box. And once she would come out of the box, he would put her head in another box, but just for her head so that her body was exposed. And it was like fully a soundproof wooden with like foam inside against her face, but with breathing holes so that she could breathe, but like could never see anything.
For 7.5 years.
7.5 years. 3 years into it, Her parents get a call, and it's her, and she's like, "Yeah, I'm okay. I'm just like living with some friends up north. I'm taking like babysitting," and they're like, "Where are you? Whatever." And she's like, "Sorry, I'll tell you another time. Whatever."
He made her call the parents.
I haven't gotten to the part with why that happened, and then a couple months after that, she shows up at the parents' house. And spends the full day with them and the next day. Spends the weekend with the whole family.
No.
And they're like, something's wrong. But the parents were like, we don't want to be like interrogating her because like if they thought she ran away and like joined a cult or something. And then so if your child.
She went back to these people?
Well, so if your child went away and like joined a cult and then they came back, you would be like, we have to be delicate here because they might run away at any second, you know? So the parents were like, we have to just show her love. Let's not interrogate her, you know? Let's not be like, where the fuck were you? Because then she's just going to leave again. Because in their mind, they're like, she left because she didn't like us. That's why she left. Because at this point, they're like, she's alive, but she didn't call us, so she doesn't want to be with us. So when she showed up, their parents were just like, she's all good. We're here. Let's be happy. And then there's another knock on the door, and a guy is at the door the next day. And she's like, oh, I have to leave. This is my fiance.
Get the fuck out of here.
He showed up to the house.
Get the fuck out.
There's a picture of the two of them because the parents were like, let's take a picture of you guys.
So there's something seriously wrong with the girl.
No, she was so brainwashed. Apparently this guy convinced her dad. She was there for 7 years. So after 3 years of this constant everyday stuff, he brainwashed her and told her that there's a company that buys and sells. I haven't like gone to the full details of this part, but like buys and sells humans for torture. Like it's human trafficking company, right? And he's like, I bought you from them, and so if they track you, like if you leave, they'll just come and get you again and bring you back. Like you cannot escape this. So in her mind, she's like, I can't involve my parents because then they're going to kill my parents. So in her mind, she's like, she didn't have freedom even when she was at her parents' house without him.
I have noticed.
And then he showed up.
Yeah, I don't want to hear this, Bronny.
It was, oh my God. It was so disturbing that I literally was like,
what about the guy? They caught the guy.
I haven't gone. So it's two episodes.
That's the most important episode.
I turned it off 45 minutes in. I was like, I can't hear more of this torture. The torture that they would put her through.
Yeah, I don't want to hear the torture. I'd fast forward. Wow. All right. Well,
kind of like fucked my day up.
Do you have something light, Bronson? Why would I rather look at that? Your nipple on your elbow.
it kind of fucked my day up, to be honest.
All right. So can we? I know.
But I just needed to bring it up because it was on my mind. You know.
Well, thank you for now giving me that burden.
She's alive now. She's chilling. And she's like kind of normal now.
I want to know what I want to know that. Hopefully, that guy is tortured himself. See, I believe he should be tortured. And the wife.
Yeah, the wife is the crazier one because she like allowed it to happen. I mean, but then would he have just killed her?
It was control. Obviously, he's a sick fuck.
I mean, obviously, the wife is sick too. Because like, you can also just go to the police. Like, that's always an option.
Wow, Bronny, life. And you wonder why I have more ammunition. It's a crazy world.
People are crazy.
Crazy.
The good thing is very hard to get away with something like that nowadays.
No, it's not. It happens.
A kidnapping like that?
Bronny, look up the...
So difficult to get away with.
There was the girl. It was in the past year or two, I'm telling you, where she's been held captive for years and the guy was using her for sex. And it was
But if it was 20 years, then it was pre-modern time. That's what I'm saying.
No,
If you disappeared...
This was not 20 years ago. This was recently. No, what I'm saying is... And it was like in the same neighborhood. Like it was
That's crazy.
Fuck the! Can you type in like girl held captivity for years and
I mean, there's so many of those stories.
I know. I wish I what is it?
Girl kidnapped for 18 years. This vigilante mob in Mexico tourist city brutally beats woman accused of kidnapping girl. That was from 11 hours ago. No. Wyoming man charged 2 years after teen girl escaped kidnap attempt. That was yesterday. A 12-year-old girl missing for more than a week has been found. That was last month. That's good.
See,
there's a lot of
sick.
These things. But like back in the day, she was hitchhiking, right? There weren't phones.
Bryce knows what it is because Bryce has that meme or that voice thing. Can we call Bryce quickly?
Sure.
Wow, that's fucking cool.
It's just crazy that back then you could literally just vanish and there was no trace. Now there's traces of everyone. There's cameras on every street corner, credit card hits, like...
But either way, people
phone are tracking. But, like everyone has a phone in their pocket that's tracking you. So even if the kidnapper throws your phone out of the car, it's like it was tracking you at a certain point.
Yes, because you could see where you were taken off. Cell towers.
Right. Back then, nothing.
Hey, Bryce. Hey, I'm on a pod with Bron right now. Remember, was it you who told me that that girl that was kidnapped and then it's like you hear that black guy say, I knew something was wrong when the white girl's running towards the black guy. Was that you? Fuck.
It's crazy, though.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, love you, buddy.
Love you too.
Bye. You know who it was? Brant.
Text him.
Yeah, if you call him, it's a whole production. All right, I don't know the answer to that.
We can move on, but I just needed to bring that up. And then, like, the idea of how you're so close to danger.
No, it's scary.
And you don't know.
I'm a little neurotic. That's why.
Dad, if she left her house to go hitchhike, 10 minutes later, the car would have driven by. Yes. Like, oh my God.
You got to let me know what happened to the people. That's the most important thing for me.
Hold on. Her name is Colleen Stan. Okay, Colleen Stan. Look, here's a picture that her parents took of the two of them in her house. The parents took this.
I don't get it. I'm sorry.
Here's a picture of the box. That's the head device that he would keep her head in when she was out. Let's see what happened. This guy should die slow. Imprisonment. Okay, so Colleen Sam was hitchhiking from her home in Oregon. She stated that she was an experienced hitchhiker. Okay. Is at this point Stan got she got out of the car. Okay. Before this, Cameron, who was the guy that kidnapped her, Cameron Hooker, was a lumber mill worker, and Janice, who was his wife, had reached an agreement that he could capture a slave to take Janice's place. Because up until that time, Cameron had been using Janice to act out sexual bondage. There was to be no penetrative sex with Stan, according to the agreement, but this later changed. On the first night of her kidnapping, Stan is her, Colleen, but that's her last name, just so you don't get confused, was strung up by her hands, physically attacked, and left blindfolded and suspended while the pair had sex below her. After her kidnapping, Stan stated that she was tortured and kept locked in a box 23 hours until she was given a contract, so I didn't get to that part, and forced to sign herself into slavery for life in January 1978. In view from the box, propped up against her purse under her bed, was a photo of Marie Elizabeth Spanhankel, a previous victim whose body was never found.
Oh my God.
She further stated that Cameron led her to believe that she was being watched by a large, powerful organization called The Company, which would painfully torture her and harm her if she ever tried to escape, and harm her family if she ever tried to escape. She subsequently became a slave referred to as Kay, was forced to call Cameron master, and was not allowed to talk without permission. Cameron reportedly wanted her to be like the female character in the French erotic novel Story of O. He soon started having sex with her. I don't want to say the R word because that'll like get us banned. Cameron did not want to have sex with her because he considered that to be a breach of his agreement with his wife. So they only had oral sex. Instead, he... I can't even read these words. She was allowed to visit her family by herself in 1981, but did not reveal her situation due to her fear of the possible consequences. Her family thought she was involved in a cult because of her homemade clothes, lack of money, and absence of communication. They didn't want to pressure her, feeling she would stay away forever. The next day, she returned for a second visit with Hooker posing as her boyfriend. At the trial, Stan explained that she was happy about visiting her family, who were able to take the picture of her and Cameron smiling, happily smiling together. Let's see. It was not until 1983 that she was reintroduced to the children and neighbors. She was allowed to get a job as a maid at a motel. Hooker wanted her to become his second wife, which was a turning point for Janice. Janice confessed that starting with their first date, she had also been tortured, brainwashed, and referred to as a blank over the years. I don't want to say it. Janice further stated that she survived the relationship by engaging in denial and compartmentalization. I want to know how did she escaped.
That and what happened to him.
By August 1984, Janice began struggling with herself and went to Colleen, who was the girl, in order to inform her that Hooker was not part of the company. However, she maintained that the organization did exist. In a televised interview, Stan told the interviewer that she went to a bus station and phoned Hooker to inform him that she was leaving and that he reacted by bursting into tears. She subsequently caught a bus home. In the months that followed, she did not contact the police but continued to call Hooker regularly. She explained this at the trial by saying she wanted to give Hooker a chance to reform. 3 months later, Janice reported her husband to the police. She informed the police that Cameron had kidnapped, tortured, and murdered Marie Spanhankel, who disappeared in 1976. Authorities were unable to locate the remains. No murder charge was brought due to the lack of physical proof.
Oh my God.
A forensic psychologist testified for Cameron's prosecution at the 1985 trial, and Janice testified against her husband in exchange for full immunity. In the end, he was sentenced to consecutive prison terms totaling 104 years for sexual assault, kidnapping, and using a knife in the process. Originally ineligible for parole until 2023, he had his hearing date moved up 7 years to 2015. On April 16, 2015, his request for parole was denied, and he'll be eligible for another hearing in 2030. However, due to COVID pandemic, California officials contacted Colleen and advised her that they were looking into possibly granting him parole in 2021.
Typical. He should never be released.
Never.
Right.
He shouldn't even be in jail. He should be executed.
100% slowly.
Instead of a parole hearing, authorities scheduled a hearing in 2021 to decide if he should be classified as a sexually violent predator, which would result in his commitment to a state hospital. No. Kill him.
Right. It's California, Bronny.
But after the trial, Stan studied for an accounting degree, and as reported in 2014 by the New York Daily News, tried to move on, but with a normal life, but misery followed her. She joined and volunteered for Women's Refuge Center, an organization to help abused women. Janice reverted to her maiden name and became a registered associate social worker and has worked as a mental health professional. Colleen changed her last name. Both Janice and Colleen continue to live in California. They do not communicate with each other. How could you live a normal life after that? Like,
no, but
seven and a half years.
Shocking is
I couldn't do 7.5 hours in a box.
What's shocking is that there's even eligibility possible for
parole. That's insane.
California.
Like, there's no reforming that type of person.
No, and death that's is too easy.
No, but prison, the idea of prison is to get someone off the streets and to try and reform them in some way.
That's one aspect.
But in my mind, like, if someone is beyond the reforming, then why are you wasting money and space on them in a prison?
I think what you should do is when you have those alligator farms, he should be throwing in his food.
Yeah, I'm down
for
that.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And that's, by the way, a slow, painful death.
Oh, yeah. It fucked me up.
Wow.
The fact that that's real.
Yeah, all right, let's move on.
Yeah.
Bring me something happy.
Okay, you want to hear something interesting? I mean, this isn't happy, but it's like interesting. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Spring cleaning time. Things are fresh. Flowers are out.
You need to clean up under your neck.
I'm planning on doing it today.
Perfect.
I'm actually excited to clean up with my
Manscaped cleaned up down south about 2-3 days
ago. I don't
need
to know about that, but
that's okay. I'm just saying it's nice.
Was it enjoyable with the Manscaped stuff?
I enjoy it, and I also like it. It feels better.
It feels good after.
And it looks bigger.
Okay. It feels good after, and you don't sweat as much, at least for me.
I don't sweat. You have a whole thing going on there. Yeah.
If you can look at my arms and extrapolate that to what it's like down there.
Right, yeah.
So it's important.
Your poor girlfriend.
To keep it clean. During the winter, you know, we're coming out of winter.
Winter bush is bad. You cannot have winter bush.
We're coming out of winter, and you need a little bit of insulation. Now that we're coming into spring, you got to clean it up. You feel better. You sweat less. So head over to manscaped.com.
It's smooth, too. It's nice. It just feels good.
Yeah. Check out all their stuff. They got the Lawnmower 5.0, which is their trimmer. I use it everywhere on my body. And then I use the beard hedger the beard hedger on my facial hair. That thing's great. It's literally like a barber.
And yours should brillo like fucking like wire.
But it feels like the quality of a barber's trimmer. It's great.
Yes, actually, I use your beard to clean my barbecue. That's how fucking coarse your hair is.
Yeah. The weed whacker for your ears, which is my go-to. Hair.
That's my go-to.
And the handyman you like.
And the electric razor. Those are my go-to.
Yeah. So you can get all this stuff at manscaped.com. Use the code DADDYISSUES20 at checkout and you'll get 20% off your order and free shipping. The stuff is already very well priced for how good it is.
And well made.
Yeah.
And ergonomically correct.
Yes. That's a good word.
Yeah.
So as a listener of the show, we reward you with this 20% off because getting the product already is a reward for yourself because it'll make your life better.
And you get money off.
And you're going to get money off. So once again, manscaped.com, use the code DADDYISSUES20 and you'll get 20% off your order and free shipping. Okay, so you know glitter, like the shiny glitter.
Yeah.
Which I hate. I can't stand.
It's Elmer's glue with glitter. What? That's glitter glue.
Yeah. But the glitter itself.
And so it gets everywhere.
You can't get it off. You're finding it for days after. You're like, what the fuck? Why is this glitter
here? How to get glitter in my ass, right?
Good. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we all know why you have glitter in your ass.
Funny guy.
Why are you teasing me?
The New York Times did a whole expose on glitter.
Why?
Because it's like sus, which I didn't know about. Okay, so all glitter in the world, not all, 99% of glitter that's made in the world is made by one company in New Jersey, like Glitter Works or Glitter Art or something, which already it's like that's bizarre, right?
I don't know. How big can a company be for glitter?
Glitter's everywhere.
Is it really?
Why is one company is making
it? Why is glitter everywhere? I don't think glitter's everywhere.
Glitter's in so many, glitter's in like a bunch of makeup. It's in a bunch of kids' stuff. It's in like toys and paint. Think like when you have paint that has sparkles in it, that's glitter.
Yeah, okay. I didn't think of it. I thought, okay, they get it from one company.
It's all this one company. Let me find the name of the company.
Maybe that's what we should go into.
Glitter? No, it's to GlitterX. GlitterX is the company.
So what was the purpose of the article?
Because it was like an investigation into the article started out as just like what is glitter? Where did it come from? Why do we use it? Like, who invented it? Why is it popular? But then it became like a kind of a fun little like, huh, this is weird, but it is weird. So they went to this factory already. The fact that it's one factory in New Jersey is bizarre. The company is very, very like wealthy, very profitable. So glitter, by the way, also takes 1,000 years to biodegrade, if it's even biodegradable version.
Interesting.
It's like little pieces of plastic. So it's definitely terrible for the environment.
Right.
Terrible for your skin. Like you put it in makeup stuff and then it's like shine, makes you shiny. And that's microplastics getting into your skin and shit. That's terrible. But then apparently when the New York Times reported, this is in the in the New York Times article. She asked, so it says, let me see if I can get up the original article. So this article, I'm not signed into my New York Times account. Did I cancel my subscription?
How would I know?
Oh, it's not going to let me read that one. I hate when it doesn't let you read it. Let's see if I can get it without. Here's another article on it. So it says, reporter Katie Weaver tried to visit the company GlitterX, who it was hard for her to get in, first of all. It says they begrudgingly allowed her inside. When she asked about its numbers, so she says, the company was secretive about its numbers, but it did reveal that the most popular glitter color by far is silver. And to remove glitter, the company CEO suggests using soap and water. Okay, that's fine. But then it says, the story's most tantalizing detail is that one of the glitter industry's biggest clients doesn't want the public to know that it's using glitter in the first place. So this is from the article. She says, when I asked Ms. Dyer if she could tell me which industry served as the biggest market, her answer was instant. No, I absolutely know that I cannot. I was taken aback. But you know what it is? Oh, God, yes, she said, and laughed. And you would never guess it. Let's just leave it at that. I asked if she could tell me why she couldn't tell me. And then this, she said, because they don't want anyone to know that it's glitter. And then she said, if I looked at it, would I know that it's glitter? And she said, no, not really. She said, would I be able to see the glitter? Oh, you'd be able to see something, but it's, yeah, I can't. Isn't that weird? When I read that, I was like, what the fuck? I have no idea. So it says, Weaver went on to ask the glitter representative if she would tell her who the client was off the record, and she wouldn't, or even off the record after the story's publication, also she wouldn't. At which point, the representative leads her to the automotive-grade pigments. Later in the piece, Weaver notes that glitter appears in items like NFL helmets, credit cards, jet ski paint jobs, and that researchers sometimes feed glitter to animals to track them via their feces. Who isn't using glitter? This article says, my first guess as to what might secretively call for massive amounts of glitter were weapons or flooring. I open it up to the staff for further speculation. So let's see. They said jewelry, maybe cars, but why would cars not want us to know that it's glitter? Someone said it's got to be explosives. Isn't that weird that she's like, I know I cannot tell you. She's like, no, you wouldn't know it's glitter. They don't want you to know it's glitter. Just a little fun little.
I would not care if there's glitter in it.
Right? But there's glitter in, like, look, glitter right there. There's glitter.
Yeah, why is no one else making it? So we got two different cups?
Yeah, two different people, two fans made them for us.
How great is that? I love it. Isn't it great? Both these are mine?
There's probably glitter in this wallpaper because it's sparkly.
Yeah, I love my cups.
You're just noticing these four years later?
Really nice.
So that's a look. There's no answer to that. It's just an interesting little...
You know what I also find very interesting?
What?
How'd you come up with that?
I've perused the New York Times.
Okay, fair enough. I like that. Good look. Blech. You're doing your research.
I peruse the New York Times. I peruse Twitter. I peruse... Is peruse a good word that I can use?
I know peruse. And I would say 99% of our listeners know peruse.
I peruse a lot of like publications. I'll just scroll through them.
Good for you. That's nice.
I haven't done it much since like in the last couple months. This has been on the list for a little while, this glitter story.
Interesting.
But
you know what I also find interesting?
Can you lower the air a little bit? It's
you know what I also find interesting?
What?
We never know the dog threw up.
Yeah, well, that's why
she's so good. That's why she's the best. She's so good. Yes, I'm lowering it.
Okay, thanks.
All right. This is
so if anyone has any ideas on what they think, what could be a secretive? It's got to be something military. But then why wouldn't they want you to know that it's glitter?
It doesn't make sense.
Or some government thing.
I don't know. I'll never figure it out.
No, no, we never will because it's secret.
Maybe when she becomes a whistleblower when they fire her.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of whistleblower, should we get into that?
Sure.
This is like a serious one. But
you feel the air now? No. Kicked in.
You're right under it, that's why.
Good.
So we talked a little bit ago. I don't know if we did actually, but it was on my list, but we might not have gone to it, or we might have. You know, like all these issues that the planes have been having, like Boeing, all their planes are like
doors
falling apart.
And shit, yes.
Right. The doors and the like, there's all these problems with their planes. And then people have been saying that it's because of like their DEI, right? Like diversity, equity, and inclusion protocols within the company have been making the quality of the stuff worse. So people were speculating that because they're like, Boeing has been posting about, oh, our all-female assembly line is, you know, we're changing the world, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, all these planes started falling apart.
Unbelievable.
So it's like, you don't have to be smart to put that together. But then it's also like, if you say that out loud, you're a misogynist, right? If you're like, these planes are falling apart because women are building them, then you can't say that really, right? Like,
well, I mean, I guess I could, but right.
But you know what I mean? That's not good to say.
Right, for business.
And it's also like, if you said it would be like, no, come on, that's just sexist. Like, there's no backing to that.
Okay.
That's just like a sexist thing to say. Okay. A month ago, a executive at Boeing came out and was like a whistleblower and was like, no, our production has gone downhill.
Because?
And Boeing is covering it up. Let me get exactly what he said.
Okay.
But then, 2 weeks ago, suicide. In air quotes.
In air quotes. You're so
funny.
Well,
right, because they can't hear me. Or they can't see my air quotes.
Oh.
The whistleblower, a couple weeks after.
Tell me about this. We talked about this.
Did we?
Yeah, yeah, we did.
The whistleblower, a couple weeks after he came out, was like, no, Boeing is lowering its safety.
We did talk about this, yes, because I would not know this, and I remember you saying this.
And then a couple days ago, the Boeing CEO has resigned. So it's like
something's going on.
Something serious is going on, but it's scary when it's planes. It's terrifying that we're getting like Boeing makes most of the planes in America.
Yeah, so what do you think it is? Like, what the fuck? Like, and if women can't do the job, so what? Then get a man to do the fucking job.
Yeah, right. It's like, why are you hiring people?
Does not make sense.
So let's see. This is from BBC. It says former Boeing employee, known for raising concerns about the firm's production standards, has been found dead. He worked for Boeing for more than 30 years. In the days before his death, he had been giving evidence in a whistleblower lawsuit against the company.
Definitely was murdered.
Of 100%. Course. Boeing said it was saddened to hear of his passing. It said the coroner's office said the 62-year-old died from a, quote, self-inflicted wound on March 9th, and police are investigating. Mr. Barnett worked for the U.S. plane giant for 3 decades, until his retirement in 2017 on health grounds. From 2010, he was employed as the quality manager at the North Charleston plant. The facility builds the 787 Dreamliner, a state-of-the-art airliner used mainly on long-haul routes in that plant. The Dreamliner is their biggest plane. It used to be the 747, now it's a 787.
Okay.
In 2019, Mr. Barnett told the BBC that under-pressure workers had been deliberately fitting substandard parts to aircraft on the production line. He also said he'd uncovered serious problems with their oxygen systems, which could mean 1 in 4 breathing masks would not work in an emergency.
Unbelievable.
He said soon after starting work in South Carolina, he became concerned that the push to get new aircraft built meant the assembly process was rushed and safety was compromised.
Terrible, right? Terrible.
And it's like, so he's saying these things, but then we're actually like, it's not like someone's just saying them. We've seen evidence. There have been multiple
nothing for him to, why would he make it up?
Yeah, but even then, it's like, even if he's making it up, it's being corroborated because the doors are flying off, the wheels. There have been a couple cases of like wheels.
I know, what's scary is though, there's a lot we don't even know that hasn't, right?
You're like, what could happen?
Right, you don't know until it becomes an issue.
Yeah.
Fuck.
He said in some cases, some standard parts had even been removed from scrap bins and refitted to the planes that were being built to prevent delays on the production line. He claimed that tests on emergency oxygen systems showed a failure rate of 25%. He alerted managers to his concern, but no action had been taken. So let's see what was his death. At the time of his death, he'd been in Charleston for legal interviews linked to the case. Last week, he gave a formal deposition in which he was questioned by Boeing's lawyers before being cross-examined by his own counsel. He had been due to undergo further questioning on Saturday. When he did not appear, inquiries were made at his hotel. He was subsequently found dead in his truck in the hotel parking lot.
Come on.
Speaking to the BBC, his lawyer described his death as tragic. In a statement to Boeing said, "We are saddened by his passing and our thoughts are with his family and friends." His death comes at a time when production standards at both Boeing and its supplier, Spirit AeroSystems, are under intense scrutiny. This follows an incident in January where an unused Aerojet door blew open. A preliminary report from the National Transportation Safety Board suggested that four bolts designed to hold the door in place were not fitted. The FAA said in a six-week audit of the company.
So simple, though, right? So simple.
Yeah.
Put the four fucking bolts in.
But it's just
simple.
No, but if you have plane after plane after plane, each plane has hundreds of thousands of bolts, you miss four.
Okay,
but you know, you're being rushed off the line.
Give me a fucking break, but go ahead.
Last week, the FAA said that a six-week audit of the company had found multiple instances where the company allegedly failed to comply with quality control requirements.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah. Huge problem. And there's 100% all these things going on.
100% murder.
Right? Of course he was murdered.
In his car in the parking lot of the hotel.
The day after he gives a deposition. Why wouldn't they do it the day before the deposition?
It's like a movie.
Yeah. So let's see. I'm pretty sure that the Boeing CEO. Here, this is 5 hours ago. United Airlines Boeing 777 diverts due to engine issue. That's 5 hours ago. 3 hours ago. Boeing 777 diverted to Denver during Paris flight over engine issue. It's like these things are happening all the time. It's terrifying.
There's a lot more flying now. The flying's, it's crazy how many flights are out there.
That's just scary to think like, wow, flying was so safe in this country. And now it's like, I have to be worried to get on a flight. Well, hopefully we're on an Airbus because that's French built. This is a Boeing specific issue. If you're on an Airbus, you're good. Those are.
I'm looking forward to Japan.
Yeah.
We're gonna have
and then
nice
there
trip.
Was the whole, so these are on 777s and 787s, which are the Dreamliners. But remember like 5-6 years ago, maybe a little longer, there was the 737 Maxes. Remember that was the whole problem?
No, I don't remember.
There were like three of them that crashed, which is like unheard of. And it was this specific line of Max, they called them 737 Maxes. It was like, you know, the iPhone comes out with the iPhone Pro and then they come out with like the iPhone SE, which is $300, $400 cheaper. Has a little less features, just as good, but
stupid.
That was what this Max was. It was like, we're going to make a little bit of a cheaper plane.
You don't want a cheaper plane than something that's in the fucking air.
Yeah. And so they discontinued these. The FAA was like, you cannot sell these. And there were all these lawsuits because people died. There were crashes. So it's like for years, Boeing has been.
So they're a scumbag company.
Yeah. But then online, that's what everyone's like pissed about. Online, all they're talking about is like, let me just do Boeing DEI. Oh, here, this is from 2 hours ago. Texas Attorney General launches probe into Boeing DEI commitments and supplier operations. Texas is using Boeing's trouble to expand its war on DEI. Let's see what they have to say about it. Because Boeing has been like on a campaign of, we are hiring trans people. Like, guys, your planes are dropping out of the sky.
But why go through that holding in? Who cares? Like, does the people really give a shit? Like, what Boeing hires trans? I mean,
especially
it makes no sense
if the planes are now less safe.
No, but again, it's so stupid. Just hire fucking people that could do the job.
Yeah, but that's not the world we live in. I mean, it's changing. Because also, a lot of people are like, yeah. I think a lot of people in their minds are like, if you're all great, if your company is great, making a lot of money, safe, doing well, then sure, do DEI shit, whatever. But if your planes, all you do is make planes, and if your planes are dropping out of the sky, then you can't be messing with, even the most liberal person, I feel like, would be like, hey, get the plane safe first.
And who cares about it? Just hire fucking people. Stop hiring this diversity and inclusion shit.
All the airlines, because this is a plane manufacturer, but the airlines, American, Delta, United, they're all on a campaign of like hiring women pilots, because that was like a very male-dominated
field. But they hired gay stewardess. Yeah, because that's all it is gay stewardess.
Yeah.
Stewards.
Or stewardess because they're gay.
Right.
But pilots were like 95% male.
Okay, but that's the industry. It's not a bit. It's just the industry.
But so all of them have been like making a huge social media campaign to hire.
Do they exist, female pilots?
Well, they've been forcing them in. And so now a lot of people are also saying, have you noticed this? I've noticed it. And I don't, this is not a correlation. I think this is due to something else. Every plane I'm on now is like bad turbulence. Have you noticed? I feel like 5 years ago, I never had turbulence. It was rare. Every single plane I'm on is bad.
I haven't seen a woman pilot yet. Oh,
the last three flights I've been on, when I went to France, and then when I the flight out to France, so I had four flights to get to France, right? Because we connected in New York. All four flights, they came on. This is your captain. It was male captain, and then first officer, a woman. Every single one of them. And I was like, there's no way that's a coincidence. They're putting women in because it's like a mandate.
You ever see a woman drive? Look at mom the way she drives. You don't want women.
By the way, and all the flights there were terrible.
Yeah, you don't want, I hate saying.
The flights were bad turbulence. I don't know if it's the women doing it.
No, I'm just saying, know your role, bitch. Know your role.
Even my girlfriend looked at me.
You don't see a guy doing laundry, do you?
Right. It's like, if I'm in a plane, I want a man driving it. I know that sounds sexist, but I feel like even my girlfriend, we got on the flight to New York and they said, first officer, this is the nurse, Amy Chen. So I'm like, oh, an Asian woman.
Asian, you're done. That's a double whammy.
My girlfriend even, sorry, she might get upset at me for that. No, she looked at me, she goes, oh no.
That's a double whammy.
She didn't say an Asian. She said, oh, I don't want a woman pilot. And I was like, yeah.
I get it. And even this can sound weird.
It's like, I don't want a man babysitter, and I don't want a woman pilot.
Do you ever call an office and the operator's a man? Just don't love it.
No, it's right, exactly.
Or even a male nurse. It just doesn't work. I'm okay with a female doctor.
Sure.
No issue on that.
Female surgeon? Nah.
No, but
I want a male surgeon.
A male nurse? No.
I think male surgeon, female pediatrician.
Female pediatrician?
I don't want a male pediatrician. Wait,
but I'm saying when you call somebody up, an office, and a man is the operator, no. No.
Yeah, I hear you.
Even a male paralegal? No.
Like, just be a lawyer. Is that what
you're right? Am I wrong?
Well, most lawyers, by the way, are going to be women in the future because our law school class, and this is across the board, this isn't Miami law, 70-30.
Why is that? Thing?
That's what higher education is now.
And at all grad schools. When they get married anyway.
Yeah.
Waste of money.
Yeah. You have something to fall back on. Mm.
I agree with you. Wow, an Asian woman pilot. That's a problem.
It was a bumpy-ass flight.
And if they're from Jersey, it's even worse.
Or Massachusetts.
Bad drivers, yeah.
Yeah.
Mass and Jersey. What is with that?
Massachusetts.
Seriously, the bad.
Yeah, I don't know why they are bad. I didn't know Jersey were bad drivers.
Jersey's the worst.
Why?
I don't know. The worst.
The drivers down here, Dad, by the way, they suck.
The liberal ones.
No, the crazy Republican. I mean, I'm just guessing they're Republican. Like, guys that are weaving in and out going 130 miles an hour.
95 is a brutal road.
Those are,
95 is a brutal.
When you get a 95 road. Between dangerous. Fort Lauderdale and Miami, dangerous, it's literally like you were thrown into Mad Max Fury Road. Well, look, is insane.
I drove like that when we were going from the.
By the way, I drive like that too. Like, I drive very aggressively, weaving in and out. Not weaving in and out, but I drive very aggressively on the highway. But I'm like, I have to because people are bad. No one lets you merge in. People are purposely assholes, and I sometimes fall prey to that too. But you are literally thrown into like a death.
95 race. Is a brutal road, brutal.
But just here, because the drivers.
Well, it's so very crowded too, though. Crowded.
The Miami drivers also a lot of the problem with Miami drivers. Is that a lot of them come from
other countries
where it's like there are no road rules.
There's
like
no lanes, nothing.
If you're in a city in Colombia, there are no road rules.
There's no lanes.
No, and there's just, it doesn't matter. So they come to Miami and they're like, hey, I'm just going to drive like that too.
Hey, I'm a guy. But you know what? Like I said, want to come to America, they're always foreigners. They don't want to live by the rules of America and they don't want to fucking deal with it. They don't want to assimilate to America. They want it the way they want it and fuck America.
Okay.
Just saying.
So anyways, this Boeing shit, scary shit. Like
Boeing, scary.
It really is. I saw a TikTok from like this famous pilot. He's like a pilot social media guy.
Uh-huh.
And he like teaches people about planes and how they work and flying, just like informational stuff. Mm-hmm. And he made a video last week where he was like on a plane and he saw it was a Boeing plane and it was like a joke video. But he was like, my reaction when I'm on a Boeing plane, and he started like hyperventilating. But
is
it's like
JetBlue a Boeing?
they have Boeing and Airbus. Airbus is a French, like if you hear your plane starts with a 7, it's a Boeing. If your plane starts with an A, it's an Airbus, like A380.
Understood.
Or 747. So they're different companies.
I have a client that's
I only want to fly on Airbuses right. now. I don't want to fly on Boeing.
I have a client that's a pilot and is a private pilot, and he says the demand for pilots is out of control.
I'm sure.
And I
private pilots too, because so many people right. are flying private.
And also, you when you show me that thing, you text the flight number and you can check it out. Oh, that's
the best feature for people who don't know.
Golden, Bronny.
All you need to do now, iPhone has built it in. You can text someone just your flight number, BA106. You just text that,
awesome.
And your message automatically links to the flight preview.
And you could click it so you see real time when yeah. they land or what's. It's fucking amazing.
It's great. Low-key, the best feature that Apple has ever done, better than anything they've ever done for their iPhones,
is
that, you know, when sometimes you have to like verify and they'll text you a code and they'll be like, enter this code.
Yes.
Now, when they text you the code, your keyboard automatically copies the code for you and enters it in. Automatically. You don't have to go into your text, copy the code, then go back into your web browser and enter it.
Not mine.
Yes, it does. It comes up from keyboard and it's copied already.
In that site?
No, on your keyboard. It shows up. The code at the top, like where you type it, it'll say 86523. And then you can just click that and it puts it in for you.
You have to show me. It's the best feature. You have to show me. I didn't know that.
Because it's so inconvenient to go out of your browser.
Like banks and shit? Because my bank will.
For banks and shit.
My bank will. Okay. You have to show me.
Just a great little underrated feature that people don't give Apple its due.
I like my phone. It's fine.
Ubiquitous.
Oh, good. All right, Bronny Boo. I love you. Anything else?
Love you too.
Do you want to continue on?
No, we'll save it for the Patreon.
Do you have a fatherly advice?
I don't have one queued up.
Okay, no worries.
If you want to listen, like we'll save the rest of the stuff for the Patreon. I do have good other stuff.
So how do people get
go to patreon.com/daddyissuespod. For $5 a month, you get an extra episode every week.
It's a no-brainer. $1.25 a week. Nothing.
And some of our best episodes are on there, TBH.
I do. I agree.
And then for $10 a month, you get that, and you get a Zoom with us, which we're going to do the Zoom sometime this week. This comes out on Monday. We're going to do the Zoom sometime this week.
If you want to
Zoom with us,
Zoom,
go join.
Zoom, Zuma, Zoom. You know what that is, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That was an old show, a kid's show when we were growing up.
Yeah, I remember. It was like neon colors, kids jumping around.
Kids jumping around. Yes.
Yeah. I know that. I know. All right.
Bronny, I love you. Everybody, you thank you. Take care.
You're joking, right?
Well, I'm trying to be hopeful. I'm trying to be optimistic about that.
Well, I guess you're too young to be a little pessimistic like me.
The fucking things I see out there, people are stupid.